Welcome to another episode of Focus Points, where we ask one simple question. What do we need to know in order to profit more from reading this book of the Bible? Let's look at another book of the Bible together so that we can better know our God and His Word. Today we're going to be looking at the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, Ecclesiastes often gets that rap of just being a very difficult, weighty, pessimistic book. But I'd encourage you, as you were reading in our evening readings this year, just one chapter at a time, really focus on how to make this reading devotional and not just something you get through to get back to the book of Psalm or to get on to one of the other poetic books that we often read in our evening readings. When we come to the book of Ecclesiastes, it really has one big idea that it's trying to teach, and that is man needs to accept the divinely inspired philosophy of life. Man needs to accept the divinely inspired philosophy of life. In other words, there is a way that we ought to be thinking about life, and that way, God gives us that way of thinking. And we, therefore, need to accept that way of thinking. So if you want to know what God thinks of life here on this earth, Ecclesiastes is the book to go to. Now, I'm indebted to one of my mentors and also one of my professors, Dr. Randy Yeagley, for the key points that we're going to talk through with the book of Ecclesiastes. This is from his book that he published a few years ago. Called Embrace Life Under the Sun. And he narrows the book of Ecclesiastes down to five key messages. And I think that he really says it well. The first key message is this: proper theology is foundational to life in a fallen world. Proper theology is foundational to life in a fallen world. In other words, if we don't have a right view of who God is and what God says, we won't understand what is going around us down here on this earth. Our view of God, it changes our view of life and of the sinful world we live in. And so Ecclesiastes, it proclaims God to be many things, like chapter 7, verse 29, God is the creator, God created man. That should right away form our thinking about life here on this earth. Chapter 5, verse 18 tells us that life is a gift from God. The fact that we're able to live here, the fact that we have life, God's the one who gives it, and God has given us life, and He intends us to enjoy our time here on this earth. We see that in chapter 9, verse 9. But even though we're intended to enjoy our time here on this earth, we need to enjoy our life within God's parameters. Chapter 12, verse 1, and chapter 5, verse 19. All right, we can live here. God has given us things to enjoy, but there are right ways and there are wrong ways to enjoy life on this world. And when it comes down to it, what should motivate us to enjoy life correctly? Well, it's God's judgment. God's judgment is a future certainty. We see that in chapter 3, verse 17. And these are just some of the truths about God that should give us a proper theology that then helps us to understand the fallen world that we live in. The second main message is this: vanity is the state of life in a fallen world. Vanity is a state of life in a fallen world. Chapter 1, verse 18, chapter 6, verse 12 talk about this. Now, first of all, what does this idea of vanity mean? Well, vanity simply means breath or wind. It's a metaphor, and sometimes the metaphor kind of changes on you. For instance, I could use a metaphor. You eat like a pig, all right? There is you, and then there's what you're being compared to, a pig. But you eating like a pig could mean several different things depending on the context. It could mean you eat like a pig in that you eat a whole bunch of food, all right? You're just picking it out and you are just putting it away and you're eating a whole lot. Or it could be you eat like a pig in that you are extremely sloppy, All right? When you get done eating your barbecue wings, they are all over your face and your shirt and your sleeves, and you are just a mess. And in that way, you eat like a pig. Or it could be you eat like a pig in that you put your face down and you eat your mac and cheese without any utensils. You just shove your face right into your plate. So the metaphor could have a lot of different nuances and senses depending on the context. And that's really the same way we think about this idea of vanity or emptiness. All right? Vanity is used throughout the book, but sometimes it has a little different sense to it depending on what it's being compared to. And so we see it could mean vanity in the sense of frustration. All right, chapter 118, it causes frustration. If you're going to chase after wind and not get it, of course you're going to have that type of frustrated response. It could also have the idea of being transitory. It's only temporary. Wind is here and then it's gone. Wind is never going to stand still. If wind stands still, it ceases to be wind. I'm not a scientist, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. Or even has the idea of emptiness, all right? You breathe something out and there is no substance to it. So life, vanity is the state of life down here. It is full of frustration. It is something that is transitory. It's just temporary. And ultimately, life down here in this sinful fallen world is empty. So vanity is the state of life in a fallen world. Our third message: enjoying life is a gift from God in a fallen world. You can look at chapter 9, verses 7 through 9 to really kind of capture that in a nutshell. And that's why Ecclesiastes talks about enjoying your work, enjoying your family, enjoying food and drink. These are all gifts from God that he's given to help us endure the vanity that is in this fallen world. God gives us these things to counteract it. Chapter 5, verse 20 says that. Now, of course, we have to understand God also gives parameters that we are to enjoy these pleasures in. Number 4, the fear of God is essential to life in a fallen world. Ultimately, when it comes down to it, understanding who God is and reacting appropriately to who God is, that is the fear of the Lord, that is what you need in life. So we enjoy what God gives us, but as we enjoy, we remember our Creator in the days of our youth, and we see that life down here is truly vanity unless we are fearing our God. Then a fifth message that comes up is simply this: even wisdom has limits in a fallen world. There are things that just wisdom can't figure out. There are limitations of wisdom. And that's when we look to someone else apart from ourselves for the ultimate answers. And then we realize that sometimes God doesn't give the answers to how things are working and why things work a certain way, but we just let God be God. I want to finish off with just a quote that Dr. Yeagley makes at the conclusion of his book to kind of encapsulate everything that Ecclesiastes is going to teach us as we read through it. Dr. Yeagley says this: "A life of enjoyment of God's simple gifts, however, is a life of worshipful praise to the Creator. He has given us food and drink, work and family relationships, so that we will be too happily occupied with God's provisions to be bothered by the frustrating, unjust, and profitless quality of life's experiences. The fear of the Lord results in a growing relationship with the Holy One. As we walk with Him through life, we find great satisfaction in being conformed to His image and in obeying His word." So I hope that rather than reading through Ecclesiastes this year and thinking, well, this was useless or this was vanity, that you will find some great profit as you consider the divinely inspired purpose and philosophy of life that God gives us through Ecclesiastes.